You'll take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Book of Galatians, chapter number 6. We continue talking about here in Galatians 6, in verse number 7 and 8, some things that we've been looking at for several weeks now. We moved this morning into the actual laws of the harvest. And I really just want to take a look at one of the laws of the harvest this morning, and we'll come back and take a look at some of the others later. But Galatians 6, and we're in verse 7 and 8, says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The text this morning, there, the latter part of verse number 7, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And usually when most of us think of the concept of reaping what we sow, we think of it in a negative sense. But, we think of paying the consequences of for sinful actions or foolish choices. But listen, the laws of the harvest are not just negative. They are also positive. If you sow the right things in your life, it's a positive thing. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The laws of the harvest are applied not only in a negative fashion, but they apply in a positive fashion. And there are seven laws of the harvest that we're going to look at over the next few weeks. And we may, I'm working on this as I go. I've got my basic outline, so I don't know how many of these we're going to cover a week. We're just covering one this morning, okay? We may cover more than one next time. It just kind of depends on as I develop it, how we go from there. But the first thing I want you to see this morning is that we reap what we have sown. We reap what we have sown. Now, in our Wednesday night Bible studies recently, we have, those of you that have been with us, we've been looking at some choices that King Solomon made early in his reign and the effects they had on him and on the people of Israel later in his life. And we've acknowledged that life is filled with choices. In fact, for 4 weeks, we looked at the matter of choices in our Wednesday night service. Many of the choices that we make have little to no effect on us. But we need to understand that many of the choices that we make also can affect the ones that we love and affect ourselves, really, on an everyday basis in everything that we do. And it may affect us now, or it may affect us later, it may affect us now and later. We don't get to choose. You get to make the choice, but you don't get to choose what the consequences of your choices are. That means our everyday choices are not without significance. We need to think about the choices we make. We need to pray about the choices that we make. Our choices affect us and others in dramatic ways, whether we see it immediately or not. Now, while earth remains, we see that no man will mock God by changing for even one time these laws of the harvest. People sometimes take a look at the laws of harvest and say, "Well, the Bible may say that, but that doesn't apply to me." Oh, yes, it does. It applies to each and every one of us. And you say, "Well, I didn't see that I reaped anything out of it." Well, you're not before the judgment seat yet. sometimes the reaping comes when we stand before God. Sometimes it comes immediately. You ever made a bad decision and you immediately regretted it? You immediately suffered the consequences of having made the bad choice? Usually they say that's what a redneck does. He says, "Hey, y'all, watch this." And he makes a choice to do something stupid and he pays for it right immediately. Amen? I know we've all probably been there at one time or another, at least those of us that are rednecks like myself anyway. But in Ephesians 5, verse number 15 through 17 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." There's some things we need to understand. We need to have wisdom in our lives. We need to realize that we are to be careful about our walk. And that's what it means to walk circumspectly. You're aware as you walk around, you're aware that things that you choose make a difference in your lives. Why do we need wisdom? You know, Psalm 90, verse number 12, tells us, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We each need wisdom. Why do we need wisdom? Well, you know, the book of Proverbs is full of counsel regarding having proper wisdom in our lives. More than we can possibly share with you this morning, okay? And let me encourage you this week, take the book of Proverbs and read through the book of Proverbs. And everything that talks about wisdom, I want you to pay really close attention to it. Pay attention to all of it, but especially with regard to what it says about wisdom. One of the great verses that's there, one of the many great verses, says in Proverbs 4:7 that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So we're to wisdom's the principal thing. And when we get wisdom, we need understanding to go with that. And so let me encourage you to read through and find out more about wisdom. But the bottom line is we need wisdom so that we can make wise and proper choices. What we reap in our lives was planted either naturally or purposely. You know, sometimes God plants things in our lives. Sometimes other people plant things in our lives. Sometimes we plant things in our lives. And, you know, the things that God plants, I know He intends for those to in a good direction in our lives. But we, as I said, this reaping what we sow has a positive and a negative side. Also, I want you to understand it has an earthly aspect. As in other words, some of our reaping, both positive and negative, is done while we're here, right? We know some of it is right here. But it also has an eternal aspect. Some of our reaping, positive and negative, is at the judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And Romans 14, verse number 11 and 12, Paul told the Roman church there, says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're all going to give account one day. Amen. No exclusions. You're going to stand before God. I'm going to stand before God. So I want to take a look at the positive side of this law of sowing and reaping, and then we'll look at the negative side of this law. So let's look at the positive side of this law first. First of all, I want you to see that we reap blessings because of what God has done and is doing on our behalf. You know, there are the blessings of common grace. You don't even have to be saved to receive some of the blessings that I'm talking about. God is just naturally good to us in some great ways, isn't he? Matthew 5, verse number 45 says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth his rain on the just and the unjust. You know, when you go out and it's raining, you don't see it just raining on folks that know the Lord. When the sun's shining, you don't see it just shining on people that know the Lord. I mean, we know that God is good to us all. In fact, James 1, verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So if you've got something good in your life, amen, you need to praise God for it. Amen. Praise God for the good that you have in your life, because every good gift and every perfect gift comes from Him. In John chapter number 3, verse number 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. You know, everything we have, we've been given by the Lord. Some folks would dispute that and say, well, you know, I worked for what I had. Well, who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you the job? You know, who gave you the intelligence to be able to do what you do for a living? Listen, whether it's directly or indirectly, I can tell you that the Lord has a hand in what's going on in your life. And in many ways, listen, God is gracious toward all men, whether they realize it or not, and whether they ever give Him thanks for His blessings or not. Think about it. You know, there are a lot of folks who don't acknowledge God in anything. I mean, they don't acknowledge that there is a God, but yet they enjoy a lot of the same blessings that you and I do. fact, every good gift we enjoy comes from God Himself. So there are the blessings of common grace. And I want you to see there are the blessings of saving grace. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12 says, "And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The big question this morning is, do you have Jesus in your life? Do you have the Son of God? Has He become a part of your life? As the Bible speaks of you having taken and believed on Him for salvation. Listen, He did the one thing that nobody else could do for you, and that is He died for your sin. We all have a problem of sin in our lives. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Thank God for that last half of that verse, amen, that we have the gift of God through Jesus Christ that gives us that eternal life. John 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But you know, we got more than just the salvation of our souls when we got Jesus. We also got blessed with heavenly blessings. Ephesians 1, verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We've got so much more than just eternal life in the Lord. You know, I thank God for been working in my life all these years. Got saved. Many of you know, I mentioned February 17th, 1971. That's my spiritual birthday. That's when I came to know the Lord as my Savior. And ever since that day, and really even before that day, God was working in my life. He was working in my life before that time, bringing me to Him. And then after that time, now that I'm His, He's been working on my life to accomplish His will in my life. Listen, regardless of man's lack of thankfulness, God has given man the greatest gift of all, and that's that gift of His Son, the gift of salvation, and the gift of the spiritual blessings that come right along with it. God became man, went to Calvary, that we might have life by faith in Him. So, not only do we reap blessings because of what God has done and is doing on our behalf, but the second thing I want you to see is we reap blessings because of what others have done or are doing. Jesus told His disciples in John 4:38, He says, "Yeah, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors." You know, some plant, and some water, but it's God that gives the increase. Amen. And the blessings, you know, I want you to think about the blessings that we've enjoyed in our land of freedom. We've got so much to thank God for in this land of ours. And all of these things, the freedom, our laws, the plenty that we enjoy, they're all byproducts of our godly heritage and foundation of Christianity in this country. And by the way, that's true whether or not you believe it. I know there's people are trying to take God and Christianity out of our history books and trying to say that they have anything to do with where we are at today with regard to God's blessings on our land. But it's been said that, you know, South America was settled by the Spanish, and they came to that land in search of gold. But North America was settled by those who came in search of God. They came so that they could freely worship God without interference. They wanted to live their lives according to the dictates of Scripture. And that's what made the difference between God being the blessing on the North American continent as opposed to the South American continent there that was basically... they were looking for gold there. But I want you to think too about the freedoms that we enjoy at the hands of those who either fought to gain those freedoms or fought to defend those freedoms. You know, none of us partook in the Revolutionary War. Not a one of us. But we are benefactors of those who gave their lives and fought that we might have the initial freedoms. I did not fight in World War I. I wasn't even born. Didn't fight in World War II. I was barely born. No, I wasn't even born there. I didn't fight in any of the wars. I am not one who went out and defended the freedoms of this country, but I know people who have. I know some who have given their lives so that we might enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy. It's the reason why we set aside such days as Memorial Day and Independence Day, Veterans Day and President's Day to acknowledge the blessings that we have in our nation at the expense of others who have sown their very lives that we might reap. What I'm saying is, I reaped a lot of the benefits that we have in this country based on somebody else having sown that I might be able to reap. Most people don't even realize the far-reaching implications that their choices can have on the lives of others, whether it be their children, their family members, their co-workers, or even their friends. You know, our lives are interactive. Our lives affect other people's lives, whether we want to recognize that or not. A third thing I want you to see here is that we are to be a blessing to others as others have been a blessing to us. And that's scriptural, by the way. Jesus said in John 13, verse 15, He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." The Lord said, "Hey, look, you know, I've done some great things for you. Because I've done for you, you need to go out and do for others." Remember how Paul told the Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 1:7, he says that they were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That was a good thing. They had received the Lord. They had the Lord was working in their church. The Lord was working in their individual lives. And they wanted to be an example to other people. And they were. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." We're to be examples to other believers. And it's not just the preachers that need to be that. We all need to be an example. Think about who's looking up to you. Whether it be a family member, or whether it just be one of these small ones that we have in our church. You know, they've got their eyes on you. If you're a parent or a grandparent, you know that to be true. And we know that's true also in church. In 2 Timothy 2:2, listen to what Paul told Timothy there. He said, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What Paul said, he said, "Listen, I taught you, Timothy, but I taught you not so you could just accumulate a bunch of knowledge, but so that you could take what I gave you and so you can impart it to others that they can learn and that they can teach other people." Amen. It's to be a discipleship. Amen. We are to commit what we have to faithful men who are able to teach others also. Paul told Titus in Titus 2:7, he says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works." What's a pattern? It's an example for somebody to look at. You know, you're consistent. People ought to look at our lives and see our consistencies for the Lord. And if they see our consistency, it makes a difference in their life. It makes a positive difference in their life. But listen, if they see our lack of faithfulness, that also makes a difference in their life. It's a negative difference. We need to realize that people are looking at us, and people are looking to see whether we're real in our faith or not. A number four thing I want you to see here on the positive side is that when we are good role models, as we should be, we can reap Christ-like changes in the lives of others that can last for eternity. I just want to use a personal example. I thank God for every teacher and preacher that has influenced my life in a positive way to help me be the man of God that I am today. I couldn't even tell you all their names. My memory is not that great. I can recall some of their names. I know one of the pastors I learned most of my doctrine under was James Manning, and I thank God for that man. A lot of what you have reaped in the knowledge that I have was bestowed on me through his teaching and preaching. I think of some revival preachers. Brother Herschel Bragg, Brother Herschel Gregg. These men would come and preach week-long meetings, spring, summer, fall, whenever my pastor would have them in. And these men were a blessing in my life. They imparted to me knowledge that I did not have. And I am a result of those who have taught and preached and had an influence in my life. I think of Sunday school teachers. It's not just preachers. I think of Brother Thomas, Brother Matthew, Brother Dwayne Gibson. These men, they taught me as a boy growing up. And I thank God for the influence. They're the ones that encouraged me to memorize the Word of God. And I memorized the Word of God, and as a young teenager, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And a lot of that came from having memorized the Scripture and the Scripture pounding my heart and showing me my need and showing me that I was lost. Amen. So we've seen the positive side of the law. Now let's take a look at the negative side of this law. Sometimes we reap the wrong that others have sown. You know, we reap a certain amount of wrong inherited from our ancestors. We all got a problem that we trace our roots all the way back to Adam. Amen. That's the problem. That's the reason why we sin. Psalm 51 verse 5, David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Psalm 58 verse number 2, he says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." When you think about the beginning of it all, and we just recently looked at the problem there in the Garden of Eden, how that it boiled down to the fact that they didn't take God at His word. God said, "The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And the devil comes by and said, "Thou shalt not surely die," and they believed the devil rather than believing God. Listen to what it says in Genesis 5:3. It says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth." He begat a son in his own image after his own likeness. Numbers 14 verse number 18 says, "The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation." I think sometimes we have some of the problems that we have because some generational sins. You know, we got some ancestors that weren't what they should have been, and we're reaping some of the consequences. We all reap, though, we know, from the sin of Adam and Eve. And we all pass that same thing along to our children. And this means not only a sinful nature, but also things that children can learn, like how to be critical from a fault-finding parent. You know, your kids are listening to you. They're watching you. And if you, you know, sometimes you take a look at them and you listen to them, you say, "Man, where in the world did they come up with that at?" And you start listening to yourself, you'll understand. Sometimes it comes from us. Don't you just hate it when one of your negative characteristics shows up in your child or your grandchild? I hate when that happens. Because it happens with me too. Amen. We reap a certain amount of wrong inherited from our ancestors. Another thing is, a nation can and will reap from the wrong choices of foolish and corrupt leaders. I believe that's what we're seeing a lot of in our day and time. This often includes the judgment of God on society, past, present, and future. When you look at what's happening in our land, could what is happening in our nation with regard to violence and crime and other things be some of the reaping from our nation's leaders having allowed there to be more lives taken in the womb than we have ever lost in all the wars together? Think about that. All the wars that have ever been fought in our nation, we've lost more children killed in the womb than all the wars that our nation has fought and added together. Romans 2, verse number 5 says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Sometimes a nation can and will reap from the wrong choices. We see it in the Bible. When you take a look at the example of Israel and Judah, and how that Judah refused to listen to the prophet Jeremiah and the other prophets that were sent, and they refused to repent and turn from their sin, the Lord sent them away into captivity. He is the one that brought the consequences in their life. Listen, folks, it should be of concern to us, because if the Lord tarries, it stands to affect us and the ones we love. Amen? It just really does. When the Lord judged Israel as a nation, He did so because the people were wrong morally and spiritually. And even those who were a part of a believing remnant did not escape the Lord's chastening of Israel. Think about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was prophesying, "It's coming, it's coming." He got caught up in it. It came. But he was part of that. So was Daniel and the three Hebrew children. You know, Daniel was trying to serve God. The three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them, they were trying to serve God. They wanted to serve the Lord, even in the pagan land that they'd been carried away captive to. But listen, their lives were affected by the decisions of their leaders of their country. In 1787, there was an author by the name of Edward Gibbons, who, after 20 years of labor, completed his book. His book was entitled "The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire." In it, he attributed the fall of the Roman Empire as being from certain things. Let me give you five things of what he said. He said, number one, the rapid increase of divorce, the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. Has not the home been undermined? Has not the dignity of marriage been robbed? Second thing he mentioned was higher and higher taxes and the spending of public monies for free bread and circuses for the populace. You know, people want, they think the government should give them everything. And that, you know, there was a time when the government didn't give away cell phones. Listen, if you need a cell phone, go out and buy it. No one deserves a cell phone at the expense of the public. The third thing he mentioned was the mad craze for pleasure. Sports becoming every year more exciting and even more brutal. Does that not explain what we see in our land? Number four thing, the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy was within, the decadence of the people. And that is the problem. The problem is that the hearts of people, the hearts of people in our nation, that's what's going to bring us down. Number five, the decay of religion. Faith fading into mere form, losing touch with life, and becoming impotent to warn and guide the people. All of these things we have been seeing with increasing intensity during the days in which we live. The Roman Empire sowed these things that caused them to reap their decline and fall. Don't think that somehow the laws of harvest don't and won't apply to our own nation. The laws of the harvest apply. They apply on a worldwide basis, and we're going to see that. Y'all have heard me teach and preach on the tribulation period. That whole period is a matter of reaping worldwide what folks have sown for so many years on a worldwide basis. On a nationwide basis, you know, think about our nation. To whom much is given, much shall be required. We've been a blessed land for so many years. We are still a blessed land. But because God has given to us, we have great responsibility. And we have failed in our responsibilities as a nation. on a community basis, on a church basis, on a family basis, on an individual basis, every basis, the laws of the harvest apply. We reap what we have sown. Let me ask you in closing, what are you sowing that you're going to reap? What is there in your life that needs to be changed? What do you need to take to the Lord this morning and ask Him to take and cleanse you of? We're going to have a hymn of invitation. If you're here without the Lord, you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. If you'll come this morning and meet me down front, we'll have somebody take you up apart in private and show you from God's Word how you can know that heaven is your home, how you can be assured of eternal life. And you need that assurance today. But those of us that are saved, just because you're saved don't mean the laws of sowing and reaping don't apply. They do apply. How much are we praying for our country? How much are we standing against that which is wrong in our country? Also, that's a responsibility for us as believers. Why don't you let the Lord do a work in your life so that we can reap His blessings in the days that we have left on this earth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for the positive aspects of this sowing and reaping. Thank You that it's not all negative. God, help us to sow the right things as believers. Help us in our own personal lives and in the lives of our family and the lives of our church especially. Lord, the immediate influence that we can have in those three areas can be so great in those that are around us, whether it be families or friends that see us all the time. Lord, help us also touch our own nation. Help us not get pulled into the things that are causing our nation to fall. Lord, we as believers ought to be standing for good and right. Lord, we pray that You would help us to live lives that would be pleasing to You so that, Lord, that we're not part of the reason why we're reaping negative consequences in our country. Lord, have Your way in this invitation this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, if you're able, and play Hymn of Invitation. And if you need to come, please come this morning.